Okay, so last time we left off at the second Mishnah, Mem Ches Amud Aleph, where it says Ezo Asherah, or the way that they added in is Ezo Hi Asherah, Kol Sheyesh Tachteha Avos Gochaven. So what is considered an Asherah tree? Anything that has beneath it an Avodah Zarah. Rav Shimon Omer, Rav Shimon says Kol She'ovdin Osa. Anything that they worship it, they worship the tree itself, not that they are doing Avodah Zarah worship beneath the tree. There was a story in Sidon Be'ilon Shahayu Ovdonasa, where there was a tree where apparently they were worshipping it. Gal, and they found beneath it a pile of some sort. So Shimon told them, go inspect, go check out what's in this heap underneath the Asherah. So underneath a tree. So they checked. Inside of this pile, they found some sort of form. Armalahan, so he said to them, Holo Tsurhain Ovdin. Well, clearly then, since it is they are worshipping the Tsura, this image, Natir in the Bachetz and Lachem, or he changes Lachem, as Ha'ilan, we will permit to you the tree. In other words, if there's a statue, if there's an Avodah Zarah underneath the tree, then they're worshipping the Avodah Zarah, not the tree. If there's nothing there, so then maybe they're worshipping the tree itself. Okay, so now says the Gemara, Ezohi Asherah, wait a second, you're telling me we have a Mishnah here that's saying, what's an Asherah tree? And now we have this machlokas between the Tanakam and Rav Shimon, v'hanan shalosh Asherah tanan. I thought we learned right up earlier on this Amud, we said there are three kinds of Asherah trees. There are three Asherahs that are on the table for discussion when it comes to Bittul. So what's going on over here? So says the Gemara, Hachika Amar. So really, this is what we're trying to say. Shtayim in the Bach changes Divrei Hakol. That two are, according to everybody, are qualify as Asherah trees. V'achas machlokas Rav Shimon v'Rabbanan. And one of them is actually machlokas between Rav Shimon and the Chachamim. Ezu Asherah shenechluku ba Rav Shimon v'Chachamim. What is this Asherah tree that Rav Shimon and the Chachamim argue about? Kol sheyesh tachta avodas kochavim. Anything that has underneath it an avodah zarah. Rav Shimon amar kol she'ovdin osa. That's the machlokas, and that's what we're saying. That's what we're opening up with in our Mishnah. Okay. Now, says the Gemara, Ezuhi Asherah Stam. What's an Asherah Stam? Now, what this really means is this is not really a continuation of what we were talking about before. Ezuhi Asherah Stam is the Gemara opening up a new question, which is, how can you tell what an Asherah is? What's an Asherah Stam? A regular Asherah tree, how can you tell that it's an Asherah tree? So Amar Rav. So Rav explained, Kol shekomrim yoshven tachteha, vein tomin mi perosea. Any tree that you'll find, that you'll see that there are komrim, that there are like these priests who sit beneath it and they don't taste from its fruits. That's a telltale sign that's an Asherah tree. That's why they're not eating the fruits from that tree. Ushmul Amar Shmuel said, Afilu Amri Hani Tamar Lebed Nitzerfi. Even if you just hear them saying that these dates are Shabi to the Bay Nitzerfi, which is their Avodah Zarah, Aser, that tree is Aser, Derami Beishikra, Vishasile Biom Enam. Because what they're going to do is, they are going to take those dates and they are going to bring them into the Beishikra, the brewery for making beer, and they are going to make beer, and they are going to drink it on their holiday, and that's a problem. So clearly that tree is an Asherah tree. Amar Amemar. Amemar said, I'm really sabi to Pumbadisa. The elders of Pumbadisa told me, Hilcha Zaka Shmuel. Now, Halacha is like Shmuel. Okay. So now, says the next Mishnah. Amem Chesem Beitz. Lo Yeshe Bitzila. A person should not sit in the shade of the Asherah tree. Vim Yashav. And if he did sit in the shade of the Asherah tree, Tahar. He's Tahar. He doesn't become Tameh. He should not pass beneath the Asherah tree. But if he does pass beneath the Asherah tree, Tameh, he becomes Tameh. If the tree was stealing from the public and he passed beneath it, Tahar, then he starts. So what's going on over here? What does it mean that it's stealing from the public? It means that there are branches of the tree that are jutting out into the Rishus HaRabim. And now this Jewish fellow, is passing beneath the branches of the tree that are jutting out into the Rishus HaRabim. So he does not become Tameh. Now, what Rashi explains right away is that we're going to talk about this Bezer Shem and the Gemara, is that when we say that you're not supposed to sit in the shade of the tree, this does not mean that he's sitting directly beneath the branches of the tree. And the reason that it can't be like that is that because the Mishnah goes on and says, and if a person did sit beneath the branches of the tree, he's tahar. Now, so what's the issue? The issue is that we go on to say in the next part of the Mishnah, in the very next statement, it shouldn't pass underneath it, but if you did, then you're tummy. So what's going on over here? How could it be that if you sit beneath it, you're tahar, but if you pass beneath it, then you're tummy? So the answer is, right, obviously we're going to be talking about tumas oil over here, that because we assume that there is takrovas of zara beneath the tree, that means that the tree is going to serve as an oil, and we'll talk about this blin netter in the Gemara. But the point over here is that it can't be that you're sitting directly beneath the tree, because then that's the same thing as passing right beneath the tree. And therefore, what we're talking about over here, we're talking about the shadow that is cast beyond the tree, beyond the confines of the tree. So when the sun is at the right angle, either on the western side of the tree or on the eastern side of the tree, and there's a shadow, so if a person is sitting in that shade, so that's what we're talking about. Not talking about sitting directly beneath the tree itself, so that the tree is serving as an ohel over you and the takrovas of Adazar. Okay, so says the Gemara, lo yeshu betzila. We said in the Mishnah, a person should not sit in the shade of the tree. Pshita, of course he shouldn't sit in the shade of the tree. So Amar Rabbi Bar Chana, Amar Rav Yochanan. So Rabbi Bar Chana explained that lo nitzrucha ela letzel tila. The Mishnah's case is needed for a case of tzel tila, the shade of the shade. Meaning to say, as we talked about, as Rashi already referenced in the Mishnah, is that tzel tila is referring to the fact that if you have the sun not directly overhead, if you have the sun either in the morning or in the evening, where it's in the western part of the sky or the eastern part of the sky, and so that's the angle that is hitting, beating down at the tree, so the shadow is going to be cast to the side of the tree. It's not going to be beneath the tree. That's what we're talking about when we say tzel tzilo. So what the main idea over here is, the way the Rashi explains it, why are we calling it the shade of its shadow? Or the shade of the shade. So the way the Rashi explains this is that as the sun gets closer up to the zenith, the shade is much more concentrated beneath the tree. Right, the further down to the west or to the east that the sun is, the weaker the shade is. So when the shadow is the is roughly equivalent to the height of the tree, that's when when the sun is on the side, when it's beating from the side of the tree, either on the western side of the sky or the eastern side of the sky. So when the sun is beating like that, as long as the shadow is roughly the size of the height of the tree, so then that's a pretty strong shadow. But if it's more than that, if the shadow of the tree is going to be larger than the height of the tree, then the shadow that's cast is much, much weaker. And that's what we're talking about when we say tzel tzila. Okay, so you're not sitting directly beneath the tree, you're sitting in this shadow that's cast further beyond the tree. Okay. That's Rav Yochanan's chiddush in the Mishnah. So says the Gemara, wait a second. So then, mechlal de betzel kamasa im yashav tamei. So does that mean to say then that if a person is in the shade of its height, if he did sit there, then he's going to be tamei? Is that what you're telling me? In other words, the assumption over here is that remember it's tzel tzila, and the tzel tzila is that you are sitting beyond the tree, in the shadow of the tree, but not quite, not in the shadow of the tree that's equivalent to the height of the tree, and much, much further than that. So the Gemara says, well, if that's true, then that seems to imply then that if a person is in the shade of the height of the tree, meaning that the sun is beating from the eastern part of the sky or the western part of the sky, but it's a little bit further up in the sky, and so now the shadow that's being cast is roughly the height of the tree, which means that it's a much stronger shadow. You're going to tell me that if you sit there, you're tummy? How could you possibly be tummy? You're not beneath the branches of the tree. So says the Gemara, lo, da'afilu letzel kamasa namim yashav dar. No, the truth of the matter is that even if a person sat beneath the shade of the height of the tree itself, meaning when the shade is just the height of the tree, then if he sat there, he'd also be tar. So it's what's going on in the Mishnah then. Va'kamashalan, the chiddush of the Mishnah is, da'afilu letzel tzila lo yashav. The chiddush is that even in the tzel tzila, when you're further away from the tree, and you're not really getting so much benefit from the tree, or from the shade that's offered by the tree, because it's a very weak shadow, because the sun is further east or further west in the sky. So if that's the case, you would think that you're allowed to sit there. Commercial in the Mishnah, that you're not. Okay, that's one understanding. Now, Ikanamasla Aseifa. Some have it that really this whole analysis is on the Seifa of the Mishnah. Now, when the Mishnah says Vim Yashav Tahar, not Lo Yeshav Atzila, and that's what we're analyzing, but Im Yashav Tahar, if a person sat in the shade of the tree, so then he's Tahar, he doesn't become Tameh. Pshita, of course he doesn't become tame. In order to become tame, he has to sit beneath the branch of the tree, and there has to be, as we know, that if they're worshipping Avodah Zarah beneath the tree, if they've used it, so then there might be Takrovas Avodah Zarah, sacrifice buried in the ground, and now the tree is going to serve as an ohel over the Takrovas Avodah Zarah and the person sitting beneath the tree. But that's only if it's directly beneath the tree's branches. If he's sitting off to the side, even if he's in the shadow of the tree, that's irrelevant. So of course he's tar. So the chiddush of the Mishnah is for a case of tzel kamasa, where he's sitting not in the tzel tzila, but if he's sitting in the shade of the height of the tree, where it's a little bit of a more concentrated shade. So mechlal. So wait a second. So then what you're telling me then is till tzel tzila. Are you telling me that your person is allowed to sit even lechatchila in the shade of the shade, meaning the weaker shadow? So lo. The chiddush of the Mishnah is not that to tell you that if you sat in the shade of the komasa, then you're tahar, but if you sit, but you're allowed to sit, meaning that's only b'diavad, but you're allowed to sit in tzeltzila. No, that's not what we're saying. What we're saying is that you're not. If a person sat in the tzel koma, so then he's tahar. You would have thought that he shouldn't be tahar. You would think that he would be tameh. Kamash Malan, that we're saying in this Mishnah is Hakamash Malan, Filu Tzel Kamasa Im Yashav Tar, that even if he sat there, he's going to be Tar. As long as he's not directly beneath the branches of the tree, that's the Chiddush. Okay, so now, says the Gemara, V'lo Yavar Tachta Vim Avar Tameh. He should not pass beneath it, but if he did, he's Tameh. That's what we said in the Mishnah. Now, my time, what exactly is the reasoning for that? So says the Gemara, I'll explain it to you. As we've been discussing all along, because we presume that it's impossible for there not to be takrovas avodah zarah, sacrifices for avodah zarah beneath the tree. That's what we're saying. And so therefore, if a person is beneath the tree, at the same time, if he's underneath the branches of the tree is serving as an ohel over that person and the takrovas avodah zarah, and that makes him tameh through tumas ohel. So says the Gemara, Mani. Okay, so who exactly is that like? Rabbi Yehuda ben Maserahi. That must be the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda ben Maserahi. The town of Rabbi Yehuda ben Maserahi. Omer minayim letakrovas avodas kochavim shemetameh be'oel. How do we know that the takrovas avodah zarah, that the sacrifice that's brought to avodah zarah, is able to be metameh by means of tumas oel? As we've mentioned in the past, right, there's two kinds of tumas oel. Either a person is hovering over something that can be metameh. Person stands over a corpse, so if he is serving as the ohel over the corpse, he's serving as the roof over the corpse, he becomes tameh. Or if he is beneath a roof, if he's underneath the same roof as the corpse, so then it's possible, then he can become tameh through tumas ol. So now we're saying that how do you know that takrovas avodah zarah is able to transmit tumah through tumas ol? Shnemar, as the pasuk says, vayitzam du lebal po'ar, and they clung to bal po'ar, vayochlu zivchei mesim, and they ate zivchei mesim. Why is the pasuk refer to them as zivchei mesim? So says the Gemara. So what do you see? Ma mace metame ba'ol, just like a mace is able to transmit tuma through tumas ol after krovas avodas kochavim, so to the sacrifice to avodah zarah is metame ba'ol, is able to transmit tuma to tumas ol. Okay, so that is the second part of the Gemara of this din, that if a person is not supposed to pass beneath a sheir tree, but if he does, he becomes tamei, because there's takrovas avodah zarah beneath the tree, that will be metamei through tumas ol. Okay, now, the Mishnah then went on and said, Hasiguzel hasasarabim, vavar tachta'a tar. If the tree is stealing from the rabbim, meaning the tree, the sheir tree, is jutting out, its branches jut out into the rishos harabim, and now a person is passing beneath those branches, he is tar. So it says the Gemara, wait a second. Ibayalu, here's our Shaila. Avar, over. Is a case where he did pass beneath the tree, or is a case that he is passing? In other words, is the Mishnah telling you that b'diavad, if a person passed beneath the tree that's jutting out into the Rishos HaRabim, then he's tar? But l'chadchila, you're not supposed to? Or is the Mishnah meaning to say that even l'chadchila, you're allowed to pass beneath the tree? So Rav Yitzchak ben Elazar, Mishmei Dechizkiya, Amar, over. it's actually that you are allowed to pass beneath the tree, even lechatchila. Rabbi Yochanan Amar im avar. No, it's only if he did pass beneath the tree. Then we say, but yeah, but it's okay. Now, says the Gemara, actually, v'lo pliki, there actually is no machlokas over here. Hadiga derka achrina, hadaleka derka achrina. There's no difference, really. Really, Rav Yitzchak and Rav Yochanan actually agree to each other. Just one is saying his position where there's a case where there's another path available, but one is discussing a case where there's no path available. If there's no path available, okay, so then great, lechatchil, you can pass beneath it. But if there is a path available, so then we shouldn't. But if you did, okay, so then you're not tar. Then you're not tami. Okay, now, says the Gemara, Armalei Rav Sheshes l'shami. Rav Sheshes said to his servant. Now, you have to note, and Rashi points this out, is that Rav Sheshes was blind, so he needed someone to lead the way for him. So he had his servant who's leading him. Armalei Rav Sheshes l'shami. So Rav Sheshes says to his servant, Kimatas l'asa, when you reach over there, Arhitni. When you reach over there, and he was aware that there was a certain Asherah tree that was jutting out into the Rosh Hasharabim. So he said, Arhitni, I want you to, Arhitni, like Rahit is to run. So what we're saying is, Arhitni is, I want you to bring me past there very quickly. So, Hechidami, wait a second, what's going on over here? Either like a Derka Achrina, if there's no other path available, Lamali Arhitni, then why would he tell him, you have to take me past, you have to take me under it very quickly? There's nothing wrong. It's perfectly mutter. And if there is another path available, then wait a second. So then, if there's another path available, so now if he says, pass me by very quickly, make sure to pass me underneath the tree very quickly, does that help? Is that mutter now? There's another path available. They should be taking the other path. So says the Gemara, le'olam t'leika derka achrina. No, really, there is no path available. Aye, so why? If there's no path available, why is Rav Sheshes telling him, make sure to take me very quickly beneath this tree? V'adam chashev shani. The answer is, because he's an Adam chashev. Adam chashev is different. Okay, now, as we begin the next Mishnah. The Mishnah says, zarin tachtaha yirakos b'yimasach ha'shamim, avalo b'yimasach ha'am. The Mishnah says, a person is allowed to pet, we are allowed to plant vegetables underneath an asherah tree, b'yimasach ha'shamim, in the times of the rain, in other words, during the winter, avalo b'yimasach ha'am, but not in the summer. V'hachazirin, which Rashi seems to explain as lettuce of some sort, lo b'yimos hachama, lo b'yimos hagashamim. So chazirin cannot be planted beneath the asherah tree, not in the summertime and not in the wintertime. In other words, when it comes to vegetables, they need a lot of sunlight, and therefore if they're in the shade, that's very bad for them. So that's why we say that a person is allowed to plant vegetables beneath the shade, beneath the asherah tree, because the tree is not helping. In fact, it's even hurting. It's preventing the sun from getting through. Now, when it comes to lettuce, though, lettuce is good no matter where it is, whether the shade is actually good for the tree, and so at least the way the Rashi understands it, and so because the shade is good for the tree, we don't want it planted beneath the tree. Now, says the Gemara, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Rabbi Yossi says, Aflo yirakos b'yimos ha'gashamin. No, you can't even plant vegetables beneath the asherah tree in the wintertime, because the leaves, the foliage, nosheres alayin, falls down onto, is removed. Literally, it's from like lahashir, right? Lahashir is removed. Nosheres alayin, it falls down from the tree onto them, and zevel, and it can serve for the vegetables as a fertilizer. So then it ultimately is beneficial for the plants. Okay, even in the wintertime. So that's the machlokas between the Chacham and Rav Yossi. According to the Tanakam, according to the Chachamim, we say that you're allowed to plant vegetables underneath an asherah tree as long as it's the wintertime. And Rav Yossi says, no, not in the wintertime either, because the leaves from the tree fall down, and the leaves from that asherah tree will serve as zevel, as fertilizer. So says the Gemara, wait a second. Lememra, does that mean to say, Rav Yossi suffers zevez agorim aser, Rabbanan amri zevez agorim mutter? Does that mean to say that Rav Yossi holds when you have two contributing forces to something? One contributing force makes it aser, one contributing force makes it mutter. We say zevez agorim aser, and the Chacham say that zevez agorim is mutter. Remember, we had it, and the Gemara is going to say, this discussion we talked about earlier, the Gemara references this. I thought we learned the opposite. It's not as we learned in the Mishnah. Rav Yossi Omer, Shochik v'zara l'ruach o matal liyam. But we said, how do you go ahead and be mevatal in avodah zara? This was the Gemara that we had before, Amem Gimel Amud Beis. This was that Mishnah over there. The Mishnah was discussing how do you go about being mevatal in avodah zara. So Rav Yossi says, grind it up and toss it into the wind or into the sea. The Chachamim say, no, you can't do that because it's going to, even if you throw it into the wind, it's going to turn into fertilizer. So what does that mean to say then? So that seems to indicate that the Chachamim would say that it's going to turn into fertilizer. You can't grind up an avodah zara and throw it into the wind. It's going to fertilize someone else's field. Who cares if it fertilizes somebody else's field? That just means that there's going to be two things contributing to the growth of the plants in that field. There's going to be the general land, the ground, the nutrients in the ground, and then there's also this fertilizer avodah zara. But the answer is that the Chachamim hold when there's two contributing forces, one is an iser and one is a heter, we say that it is aser. And Rav Yossi over there said, no, you're allowed to grind it up and throw it into the wind. And if it ends up in someone's field, that's not a problem. Presumably because Rav Yossi held Zevez HaGarim is mutter. So what's going on? In this mission, it seems like Rav Yossi is holding Zevez HaGarim is aser. And the Chacham is saying Zevez HaGarim is mutter. But previously, in the Mishnah before, it seemed to indicate the opposite. That Rav Yossi held Zevez HaGarim is mutter. So what's going on? So says the Gemara, let's read the whole sentence. I thought we learned the opposite. That nan Rabbi Yossi Omer Shochik v'zara l'ruach omat aliyam. Amar lo, Nacham said back, afinas hazevel. V'nemar lo yirbak b'yarcham u'umam menachem. You're not allowed to have anything. Not at anything at all from the avodah zara. So kashid rabbanan rabbanan. So now this is a big problem for the Chacham against the Chachamim. Kashid Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yossi. We have a steer in the Chacham's opinion. We have a steer in Rabbi Yossi's opinion. What's going on? So says the Gemara as follows. Bishlama. No, I can tell you very easily how there's no contradiction between Rabbi Yossi's opinions. Hasam, the ka'azal ibor, matter. Over there, when you're grinding up the avodah zara and throwing it into the wind, it's holich le'ibor. It's going to be destroyed. The person is intending, by casting it off, by grinding it up and casting it off into the wind, he's trying to destroy it. And so, therefore, before it even lands on the ground, it becomes batel. That's the idea over here. And so therefore, you don't even really have a case of Zevez HaGarim. There isn't really so much issue that we're dealing with. And so that's why Rav Yossi is able to be makel over there. But Hacha over here, but it's not going to be destroyed. The leaves are falling down and they're going to serve as fertilizer. Usher. So that is actually a problem. Now, that's how we can answer up Rav Yossi's opinion, because the truth is he does hold Zevez HaGarim is mutter. The difference is that he can say Zevez HaGarim is mutter, but because, not Zevez HaGarim mutter, but in other words, Rav Yossi, in the case before, he's going to say that it's not even a case of Zevez HaGarim, right? Because there is no Isser at all, as opposed to over here there actually is a case of Zevez HaGarim, and therefore we're going to say it's going to be Usher. Now, Ella Drabanan Rabban Kasha, but wait a second, but still it's gonna be a problem for the Chacham. I don't really have a good answer for the Chacham. So says the Gemara, Epoch. Flip around the whole thing. In other words, don't say the answer the way that you wanted to say it. You wanted to say we can answer up Rav Yossi by distinguishing between the Mishnah before and the Mishnah over here. Between the Mishnah about Shochik v'zara l'ruach over here. Now the Gemara is saying, no, don't bother distinguishing between those two Mishnahs. Just flip around the Shitas in this Mishnah. The Shita, the way that we have it as Rav Yossi, that's really the opinion of the Chacham. The Tanakam is really the opinion of Rav Yossi. Now everything works out perfectly. The Chacham is saying, you're allowed to plant Yerakos beneath the tree, B'yimasek HaShamim, and that's not a problem, because the Chacham hold, Zev Zeh Gorim, Rav Yossi holds that you're allowed to plant the vegetables beneath the asher tree in the wintertime. Why? Because he holds Zevez HaGarim is mutter. And the Chacham are the ones who say that you're not allowed to plant the vegetables beneath the asher tree in the wintertime, because they hold Zevez HaGarim is aser. Okay, now, says the Gemara, Ibaisim alternatively, lo tebach, don't really flip around the shitas. The Rav Yossi condition. Rav Yossi, we're going to answer up the way that we answered up before to distinguish between the Mishnah earlier about Shochak v'zal l'ruach and this Mishnah. What are we going to do with the Chacham's opinion? What's pshat that over here the Chacham seem to be very makel? They seem to say that you're allowed to plant the vegetables beneath the tree in the wintertime. But before, the Chacham seemingly held, not like Rav Yossi, that you can't just grind up the avodah zara and throw it into the wind. So what's going on? The Rabbanon, K'damar Rav Mari b'rei Rav Kahana. The Chacham hold like Rav Mari b'rei Rav Kahana, that what was his yisod? Ma shemashbiach ba'or pogim b'basar. That which you literally improve or benefit or gain through the hide taints the flesh. So Hagadami Mash Mashbiach Binavaya Pogim Bitzel. That which you gain through the foliage taints through the shade. What is going on over here? So what Rashi explains over here, this is actually referring to the Gemara that we have in Bukharos. So the Gemara in Bukharos, Daf Lamed Gimel, discusses that if you have kachim that are psulim mukdashim, they're invalid, they're no longer good. So what do you do with these things? So we want to you know, make some money off of them. You can't bring them as a carbon, so we want to make money off of them to give money back to the Beis HaMikdash. So what do you do with these karbanos? I mean, again, these animals were let's say they died, and now they're psul mukdashim. What's the process? So how do we make as much money off these animals as possible so that it doesn't go to waste? So the Gemara, so one of the things that we talk about the method that you're allowed to use to skin these animals in order to sell the hide on the market. Now, there are a couple ways to skin. Imagine like this. If you want a leather rug, or a leather mat or something like that, and a person needs to skin a cow or a goat or whatever in order to obtain that hide, so they don't really care if the hide comes out intact in a tube of some sort. In other words, the process that they might use is that they will, let's say the animal has now been killed, and they will sit the animal down, they'll lie it flat on its back, and they'll make a tear going all the way from its mouth, all the way down to its hide, going across its stomach, and then they can pull off that skin like pulling off a jacket. And if you do that, then you'll be left with, assuming that they cut off the skin by the legs, they will be able to pull off all of this hide, but in one long flat piece. It's not going to be in a tube, it's going to be in one flat piece. But there is a way to skin an animal so that when you pull off the hide, you'll be left with a great big tube that you can use to store things in, or that you could use as a bellow. And that would be if you skin by hanging the animal upside down and making a tear by the leg and cutting up, let's say by the hind leg, you make a tear cutting up all the way up till the hind of the animal, up to the posterior. And then you do that for all the legs so that you can pull straight down from the hind, from the posterior of the animal, all the way down as if you're pulling off like a sack. So if you do that, you'll have one great big tube. And it just depends what you're going to want the hide for. So if you want to make a tube, if you want to make something to store something in, a skin, or you want to make a bellow, you want to make bellows for the blacksmith, so then you're going to need this great big tube. You're not going to want it to be cut into one flat piece. But if you need a mat, then you'll cut it into one flat piece. There's a major difference between these two processes, though. And that's what the Gemara discusses, is that when you're dealing with psulim mukdashin, you're not allowed to skin through using the second method, cutting by the cutting from up from the legs in order to make sure that you can get one big tube of leather, and that's because there was a lot of skin, there was a lot of flesh that was lost in that process when they'd pull off the skin in one piece. As opposed to if they would use one of the other methods of cutting all along the stomach or all along the back of the animal. So then you would be able to retain some of the meat. So either way, that's what Rav Kana says. Rav Mari Brei Rav Kana, he explains that the Gemara in Bukhara, so when we're talking about that for Psulim Mukdashin, you're not allowed to skin by cutting off from the legs in order to create that one big tube of the animal from the animal's hide. That's because it's true. Why would I want to do that? I want to do that because then I can make more money off of selling the skin on the market. So maybe that's good for Hektish. If I can make more money from the animal by skinning it in a certain way, then that's the method I should use. But the answer is you're not allowed to. The reason is that you ruin the skin. You ruin the flesh of the animal. A lot of the flesh ends up going to waste when you skin the animal in that way. So the Gemara says, wait a second, but I don't get that then. Why should that make a difference? If at the end of the day, you're going to be able to get more, you're going to be able to get more money off of it, what's the problem? And the answer, and this is where Rav Mari comes in. Rav Mari's point is mash mashbiach b'dmei ha'ar pogam b'dmei ha'basar. That it's true, even if you make more money off of the hide in the market, you're going to lose money when you try to sell the meat on the market because there's less meat to sell because you ruined a whole bunch of the meat in the process of being able to skin the animal to get one big tube. Okay. And so that's what he says. What does it have to do over here? So now we're saying, same thing holds true over here, that it's true. On the one hand, when we're dealing with this tree, we're trying to explain the Chacham's opinion. Why is it the Chacham are meikel when it comes to planting vegetables beneath this tree in the time in the winter time? And the answer is that it's true. The tree might benefit the vegetables by offering fertilizer when their leaves drop, but it's also pogame with itself. The shade also is damaging for these. Plants, and therefore that's it doesn't make a difference. The net is going to be a net loss, or at least it'll cancel out. Okay, either way, where does this leave us at this point? We have a Mishnah where there's machlokas between the Chum and Rav Yossi. If you say that you're allowed to plant vegetables beneath the irakos, irakos beneath an asherah tree, we say that according to the Chumim, you are in the wintertime. According to Rav Yossi, you're not allowed in the wintertime. The Gemara asked Akasha, I thought we said Zev Zagarim is mutter according to Rav Yossi, and the Chumim say Zev Zagarim is aser. So the Gemara has two terutzim, either that we give one teretz, and we distinguish between the Mishnah over here and the Mishnah over there, which only helps us for Rav Yossi, doesn't help for the Chum, which means that if we want to help out for the Chum, we're going to have to flip around the shittas in the Mishnah. Alternatively, that we're discussing, we'll distinguish the way that we want to do for Rav Yossi, but we'll have to explain that the Chumim are able to be makel over here because of the concept of mash mash b'ar, pogim b'basar. Okay, let's hold here.